Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipaye Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
Father, we thank you as we get into your word today. We pray that we're edified and that you are glorified in the name of Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen. All right, are you guys ready for the word today? All right, what's the teaching series we've been doing so far? The Taught Faith. And has it been so far? We did a mini series in the Taught Faith called what? This is Amazing Grace. How was that for you? Very good. All right, so today we're going to continue our Taught Faith series. And just to announce to you, on Sunday we're going to start another mini series in the Taught Faith series called Paraclete. Amen. So we're going to talk about the Holy Ghost, the ministry of the Holy Ghost, all you should know about the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, now what's the aim of this teaching series? This teaching series aims to help you revisit the fundamentals of your faith. The goal is to help you experience spiritual growth. Say spiritual growth. Come on, can you say that again? Say spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Media, please help me drop this just a bit so it's not too loud. And I remember when I started telling you and started teaching you about this series, I told you a story about my earliest disciples. How many of you remember that? Nobody remembers? You remember? All right. I told you that about 6 to 7 years ago, when I first started discipling people and teaching people, you know, I had some of my first earlier disciples. And I can recollect one wonderful meeting I had with them. And in that meeting, I taught them the exact same things I taught you at the beginning about the gospel and about all that you should know about the Christian faith. And I remember that there was so much intrigue in their eyes. There was so much desire. I could see the confusion mixed with curiosity in their eyes. Like they had never heard what I was saying before. And yet I knew that they knew how important what I was saying to them was. You know, I could imagine that they were thinking, you know, what have I spent all of my childhood learning? How come I didn't learn this particular thing you're telling me? Why does this sound new, even though I know that it is basic? Are you listening to what I'm saying? They must have been thinking, did I waste my childhood learning every other thing but the most important things? What did I spend Sunday school learning? And I'm sure that already in this series, some of you already felt like that. Am I preaching? Is that the truth? How many of you felt like that at some point? All right, great. And that's the expected outcome because in a lot of ways, a lot of us have not been taught the most important thing about our faith, the basics, the building blocks, the foundation of our faith. I also recall my own experience growing up, you know, and, you know, learning about Christianity, growing in the faith as well. I was taught the gospel. And my reaction was that I wanted more. I wanted to grow. I remember having people that I would consider disciples at that time, sometime in, I think 2017 or 2016, 2017, I had people I would call disciples. And the moment I came in contact with these things I'm teaching you, I told all of them to go. I said, I can't be your teacher anymore. Because I knew for sure that there was a lot I needed to learn. Are you following me, somebody? There was so much, so much that I needed to learn. So I knew that there was so much that I needed to learn. I discovered how much I didn't know and how much more I needed to know. And let me tell you what I did. For 6 months, I sat down listening to the basics of the faith every day. Every single day. That was the hunger I had. For one, I wanted to make sure that all the wrong things I had learned before, I removed them from my head. For another, I wanted to make sure that I had a good grasp of the new things that I was learning. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And I'm sure that some of you already begin to feel like that. And this should be the type of reaction that you get, or that you have rather. So I told them, I said, go. I started to learn. Now, there are lots and lots of people who don't understand this, because they might think I was extreme. Why did I let them go? Well, I let them go because I knew I was not capable enough to teach them at the time. I knew there was so much I needed to learn. And for 5 months, I listened to one person and one person alone. How many of you listen to just one person? Just one. One person. And some might think that is extreme, but I needed to do that at that time because too many cooks spoil the broth. I'm listening to so many things. People are contradicting themselves. I don't even know the difference. And so at that point, I sat down and I kept on listening to just one person. 6 months learning, following a curriculum. Because there must be a curriculum mindset as you continue to grow. Are you listening to me, somebody? And some people can't even make the move I made. They can't let their disciples go. But that's the problem. You know, I've heard situations where some people are training people and then they start neglecting their own growth because of the people they are training. It would also lead to problems because you need to grow. Even at this stage I am, I'm still learning. You would never reach a point in your walk with God where you won't be a learner. Did you hear what I said? You will never reach a point in your walk with God where you will not be a learner. At whatever stage in your walk with God you are, you must never stop being a learner. If you lose this, you've lost the most important thing in your walk with God. You must always be a learner. Say, I must always be a learner. Can you say that like you believe it? Say, I will always be a learner. And so being a good student of the word is being a good learner, being a good disciple. And so for 6 months, I learned the basics. Many of the things I learned then must have, you know, coincided with some of the things I'm teaching you right now. It was so beautiful for me, and I hope it's beautiful for you as well. No one else. I started from the scratch. I remember learning about how to interpret the Bible one time. And I was like, who is this person who is teaching me how to spot when he's wrong? You know, why are you teaching me the secrets to know when you are wrong? That means I can catch you in a wrong. And I felt like this must be the truth. This must be something so critical for you to be teaching me all of these things. It's a systematic approach to knowing God. And that's why we're doing this. That's why we're doing the thought fit. Because learning about God, the knowledge of God must be systematic. Paul, you know, spoke in such a manner that made us believe that there is a systematic approach, a curriculum mindset. He said, having this confidence, Philippians chapter 1 verse 25, I know that I shall what? Continue and abide with you all for your what? Progress and what? Joy in the faith. What is progress in the faith? What's the Greek word for progress? Prokope. It means what? Advancement in the faith. Meaning that having been in a local assembly, in a church, under any pastor, you must be able to track progress. If you've been in any local assembly up to 3 months and you are not experiencing progress, chances are that one, you are in the wrong place. Number two, you are not applying yourself to the teachings or the trainings in the place. Meaning after a period of time, you must be able to track growth. God's design for the local assembly is that the believer is growing. In the most recent excerpt we released, I remember speaking about the fact that a believer in a local assembly that is not experiencing growth is a what? Is an aberration. It's not supposed to be. Growth is God's design for why you are in the local church. Are you following me, somebody? And so you must be a learner. Say, I must be a learner. Whilst I listened to one person, I had no fear of missing out. When you find the right teacher, God puts in that person all that you need for your advancement. Has that been your testimony? Yes, sir. Well, that's the kind of mindset you have to have. No fear of missing out. Once you find the right place and the right teacher. And this story parallels what Jesus says about the disciple in Matthew chapter 28 verse 18. Open your Bibles, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Thank you, Jesus. Such powerful sermon I'm about to preach. What does this say? Everybody want to go? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, come on, we're going to read that again like a mass choir. One, two, go. Come on, we're going to read that again like a mass choir. One, two, go. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Next verse, what does he say? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is what you popularly call what? The Great Commission. Jesus is speaking final message to his disciples before his ascension. And he's giving us a sense of what to expect, what to do, what they should go on doing when he leaves. He says, go and make disciples. He didn't say go and make members. The difference between members and disciples is what? Members might attend a church. Disciples stay and learn. Disciples are consistent. Disciples are present. The Greek word for disciples there is what? Is what? Is what? Mathetuo. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. Make students. make matetes. So he was telling them to disciple people, not just preach to them. Do you see what I'm saying? But disciple them. What matetuo means is to help someone progressively learn the word till they become mature. Are you following me? To help them become a growing disciple. To help them become learners. So what Jesus is saying is go and make learners. Can we make a learner out of you? Can we make a learner out of you? Can we make a learner out of you? Well, we have to. The first thing you have to learn when you're a part of a local assembly is how to be a learner. A lot of you understand what it means to teach and tell someone about something, but do you understand what it means to be a learner? Do you understand the practices of a learner? That word also means to train and develop someone in the truth of Scripture. So the apostles are meant to train people. That's what we should expect from them. The same for the churches. The same for the pastors, teachers, evangelists, your ministry gift. The goal is for them to make you a learner. No wonder the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, it says, and he himself gave some to be what? Apostles. Some to be what? Prophets. Some to be what? Evangelists. Some to be what? Pastors and teachers. For what reason? For the equipping of the saints. For the work of ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So he says he gave apostles. He gave pastors. The reason why you have a teacher, a pastor, a local assembly, a church is for what? For the equipping. Greek word, katatismos. What does it mean? Perfecting. When you cut down a wood, it's not perfect. It's raw. The process of refining it is katatismos. For it to become the stool you use in your house. For it to become the bed frame you use in your house. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So you can be saved, but you need equipping. When you move into a new house, you might have a house, you might buy the house, but it needs to be what? Furnished. So that word is furnishing. The believer needs to be furnished. The fact that you are saved does not mean you'll be effective in your walk with God. Amen? Even though there is instinctive in you, that which you need to respond to the things of God, it will not happen automatically. You need to be what? Furnished. So it says, for the furnishing of the saints, for the work of ministry, it says, for the what? Edifying. That word is what? Oikodom. It means it's a construction term that means to lay brick upon brick. So what happens to you when you are saved is that bricks need to be laid. Amen. And the goal is because we are building something. We're building you to become an edifice. Are you listening to what I'm saying? An edifice is like a skyscraper. If you're going to build that, you need to lay things upon things. Amen. That's the job of your pastor. Amen. And his job is clear. But how about your job in learning? How about your job in staying? How about your job in coming consistently? Are there gaps in your blocks? Did you come for one service, miss two, and attitude of Elena? Are you seeing what I'm saying? Did you show up? Did you learn? Please, are you following me, somebody? You know, Mark's account of the same Great Commission in Mark 16:15 says it, you know, very differently. Same thing, but in a different way. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, let's read together, everybody want to go. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 16. So, the whole goal and what you can see in the theme is that they must preach the gospel. They must reach out. And so, the theme we can see here is discipleship. Please, are you following me, someone? The same message is to be passed across to disciples across all nations, everywhere. And so that training is not a one-time meeting, but a consistent indoctrination for anybody to be a student in any matter or any subject. There must at least be a couple of things. Number one, what characterizes a student? A place of learning. If you're going to say you're a student, actually, you must be enrolled. Let's start from there. You must be enrolled. Meaning, you must have a teacher willing to teach you, and you must be willing to learn from that teacher. Now, this brings me to an important thing. Never assume that you have a mentor, a teacher, a spiritual father, if you have not informed them that you are following them as they follow Christ. Did you hear what I said? You have to inform them. You have to... you have to communicate your enrollment to that structure. Because in communicating, you let them know that I've given you the freedom to be able to look after my growth spiritually, to be able to correct, instruct. Amen. You know, it looks automatic that everyone in the church is my disciple, but it's not. I don't give instructions on the same level. Do you know? Okay, if you don't know, I'm telling you now. The types of instruction I can give to some people, I can't give to some others. They will slap me. Amen? I'm letting you know. So, if there are things that you expect, for example, from your mentor, your trainer, and you are not receiving, you are at liberty to say, sir, I'm not hearing you instruct me on these things. I would like your wisdom on it. Because if you don't, many preachers will, or many teachers, because you don't just need preachers, you need teachers, will not cross that boundary. Amen? Because once bitten is twice shy. Amen. Because some of you, even when you say, sir, do this, there are certain things that you reserve that we cannot touch. For even with God, you can say, God, touch everything. But you see, my relationship, no go area. You know, your pastor can counsel you on many things, but there are some things that you are like. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say there must be that enrollment to say, I'm following you. Because you will hear some people say, you ask them, who is your spiritual father? Or spirit, you say, Kenneth Hagin. When was your last discipleship class? In the dream. Wow. I celebrate you, sir. Are you seeing what I'm saying? To be a student, a learner, to be a disciple, what it means to be a learner, first of all, is that you are enrolled. And so there must be that communication to say, I'm following you, sir. Are you seeing what I'm saying? To say, I'm open to your instruction on these things. Because in a lot of ways, we try to be very emotionally intelligent. And so until you come to a place where you understand some of the instructions that we give you, we might not say much. Unless when we see that you clearly need it and it might be dangerous if we don't say it. Amen. That enrollment then says, okay, you are willing to learn. And your pastor or your teacher is willing to teach. Many times it happens automatically. But I found that in our generation, you must spell it out. In our parents' time, it's automatic. Once they are in a church, they are submitted, they trust their pastor, they are giving there. But we've grown up in our generation with too many options. Options everywhere. So with church, today you are here, tomorrow you are there. Next tomorrow, the service you are going for is Leamington, the one after Kitchener. Then you are back in Windsor, then everywhere. But God's structure for you is that you are learning. There's a curriculum mindset. That's what Paul was saying with progress. He's saying that after a period of time, there's what you must learn. And the only way that can happen if someone is looking after you and telling you what you must learn next. Are you following me, somebody? Yes, this is critical, very important. And so there must be enrolling. Number two is there must be a place of learning. A place of learning. At least you know that when I come to this place, I'm coming to learn. That's what it means to be a learner. And so if we're applying that to, you know, what Jesus is saying that disciples should create, then we would think about the place of learning to be what? The local church. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Apart from a place of learning, what else should there be? A time of learning, right? Who said the teacher? Yeah, you're correct, the teacher, definitely. But it must be a time of learning. And not just that, you must be faithful to the time and the place. If you don't show up, no learning can happen. So, for a normal learner, it will be what? The classroom. For a believer, it will be what? The local assembly, the local church. I've said it before, that Kenneth Hagin who said that if every local assembly does what they need to do, there will be no need for Bible schools. Do you know that if every local church does what they need to do or what they should be doing, there will be no need for many extra structures that we set in the middle? You know, like somebody having to create a different fellowship outside of the church. I'm not talking about fellowships to reach others. I'm talking about fellowship for the same people that are inside to stir them up. If the church is doing what it needs to do, you will not even have time to do it. The church will stretch you in prayer. You will be on fire. You will not need... Those things are actually interventions. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? They are interventions. Are you learning something today? So, number one was what? Enrollment. Number two? Number three? Time of learning. Number four? Did I say another thing? No? Okay. So, after a time of learning, then there must be a structure of learning. A curriculum at the very least. Now, in the Catalyst, when we have people disciple people, we have a common, you know, we have a discipleship manual. Anybody ever seen that before? That you can use to disciple a couple of, you know, people when you're training them. So there's a manual. Typically, when we disciple people, you can't just teach them anything at random. What would we usually do when we're teaching people? Who knows what the manual usually consists of? What would you start with? Faith. What type of faith? Salvific faith. So understanding the gospel. Typically, are you even saved? After that, what would we usually teach? No? Now, it depends on who I'm teaching. If you are new to the, if you're new, or maybe you were following someone before and I wanted to do well, I might not teach you understanding the gospel first. I might teach you mathetes first, which is how to be a disciple. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Or I can just start with understanding the gospel. What comes after? When a person is saved, what's the next thing that happens to them that they must learn about? In understanding the gospel, they understand Jesus. The Holy Spirit. Because the moment they get saved, they receive the Holy Spirit. So they must understand the Holy Spirit. So understanding the gospel, understanding the Holy Ghost. Mathetes can come either before or after. Bible interpretation, you can choose when you want to do that. But at the very least, they must learn the gospel. They must learn about the Holy Ghost. After learning about the Holy Ghost, what else is critical for them to learn about? You can decide to teach about believers' authority. If. But critical, gospel, salvation, prayer, next. So, between these three I've said, there are like six teachings you could have put either before, after, in the middle. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Prayer. After prayer, what must you teach? Evangelism. And then after evangelism, what is critical you teach? Why to belong to a local assembly? Between these five things, there are six to seven other teachings that you can put in the middle somewhere. But critical to the growth of that person, they must understand why they are saved, understand what happens to them after they are saved, which is receiving the Holy Ghost, understand prayer, which is critical for their sustenance, understand evangelism, which is what the believer must do after, responsibility of the believer, and then understand why they must belong to a local church, which is God's structure. Between these five things, there are many other teachings you can put in different places. It's our structure. It might not be how other people do it, but I believe it's a very critical structure for anyone to grow. Amen? Do you see it in even Amazing Grace? After Amazing Grace, what am I teaching you? Holy Ghost. Do you see that? Go check our different structures. If you check the very first teaching I did, what was it called? On the podcast, Understanding the Gospel. After it was what? No. Who remembers? You don't remember? Okay. Let's let it go. Amen? But check. Every year you will see that pattern in our teachings. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? So, it's very critical that there is that. Now, another important thing, oh my God, I'm taking so much time here, but I hope you're being blessed. Yes, sir. All right. Now, even after you've been taught or, you know, you've learned many of these things, another thing that must happen is repetition. Repetition is the key to what? To mastery. And so you must always go back. I've told you before that a good trainer is not one who always teaches you the new things that you've never heard. A good trainer is one who can repeat the messages of the doctrine of Christ till he builds what? Conviction in you, till you gain mastery. There are some sermons that you will not understand until the fourth time you listen to it. Which one do you think? Which one has happened to you before that you didn't get it until maybe the second or third time you listen to it? Grace, simplicity of grace. Fifth time you got it, okay? Or fourth. Grace. Mathetes, discipleship. Any other person? Which one? Let me tell you which one it was for me. The first time I ever heard the teaching of baptism that was not just about water, I was confused. I couldn't get it. It was on the fourth listen, it made sense to me. what he was talking about, the how we are united with Christ in his death, his burial. And as I'm talking, some people might even still be confused. Maybe you need to go and listen to the sermon where I said it. Are you see what I'm saying? How baptism, it says, you know, baptism is not just the immersion in water, but it's faith in the operation of God, that God has buried you with Christ. So in what God is doing in Christ, he's doing a work in you, a dual work. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Anyways, I don't have time to explain that together, but I'm saying for me, that was something. So you would need to hear many, many times. That's why another attitude of a learner is that you must be always ready to listen to any teaching, regardless, as long as it's true and from your teacher. Some of you have an attitude to learning that is terrible. Once you see his Q and A, you drag your feet. Once you see his prayer, you say, prayer, me, pray you, prayer machine, battle axe of the Father. But that's the thing. There would always be something new to learn, but not just that. There would always be mastery to gain. Let me tell you my joy. My joy is to listen to messages on the gospel repeatedly. Because you overestimate yourself, you can forget. And the best part when you're listening to such sermons is when you can evoke the same feeling you had when you first heard it. You become like a child again. And you say, this was how I felt at the beginning. All these different things have complicated it. You know when life just complicates matters. But when you go back to the simplicity of the gospel, you just have it. So even when I teach you about the gospel sometimes, it evokes certain emotions that I had when I heard it first. And I'm like, oh my God. It brings me back to the simplicity, to the ease, to the joy I felt when some of you will hear the gospel now, you will not rejoice. Because calluses have been built around your heart. That's why repetition is key. Because each time you go back, you must be able to be open like a baby to receive it. And let your heart respond. Let me tell you, anytime you hear a sermon that talks about what God has done in your life and you don't respond, it's a symptom that you're getting cold. It's a symptom that you're getting cold. If you can think about a gathering of believers, and not just any gathering of believers now, especially where you know the truth is being taught, you know, and you feel a sort of way about it, look for help. The problem will not happen that day. It might take 2 months. It might take 3 months. But that's a symptom. Because you're already, so you want to go to church and then you saw the topic, grace. You're like, what else did they talk about grace? Don't worry, Daddy. I'll stream pastor today. Or you say, are they laying hands? That's some of you. Are they laying hands? Are they giving word of knowledge? No. I was trained, pastor. Because you think the only time that the power of God can touch you is when, you know, when they are laying hands, are you there in presence? Okay. Don't worry. I'm good. But that's the problem. Because God uses every avenue to bless people. Sometimes the most critical parts of your walk with God are not the times when the power of God hits you. It's the time when your heart is changed by the entreating of the word of God. When the power of God hits you, it's an immediate effect. But when the word of God changes you, it transforms you and you can sustain that longer. When the power of God hits you, you have a one-time reminder. It's not easy to sustain that. What you can sustain is the transformation. That's why you need to take a lot of times those heavy experience and encounter and be able to impute it into your day-to-day. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? And so, one vow I made is that I will never miss a Sunday service regardless of what is happening to me. And by the grace of God, I'm still keeping it. I'm a pastor now, but if I was still a member, that would still be my vow. Because I just believe that I can miss something if I don't show up. I believe that the design of the operation of the curriculum that God gives to my pastor is designed in such a way that my pastor discerns what I'm lacking and he supplies it. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Have you ever been feeling a type of way and what you are thinking about is what is taught the next Sunday? Exactly. If that is the case, you must realize that that's the way God works. Oh my God, I've had times when I've had to change the whole sermon. I remember one month, some of you remember long ago, Father of Lights. I never planned that teaching. I'd even never done a study about it. God just told me, Oh, it was critical, Abby. How many of you needed Father of Lights? It was so important. I never planned to do it. God just told me, this is what you must do. Amen? Some of the problems we face as pastors is that when the Lord tells us to do something, and we even know some of the people who need it, they will not be the ones that don't come to church. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So, the reason why you must be present is because there's that. Number two is because even when the word is taught, there are supernatural infrastructures in place. God has designed the gathering of believers in such a way that many things happen in the spirit that you might not be able to feel. There's a type of stirring that happens. I've said it before, the believer is highly combustible. There's a type of match lightning that happens with you just when you're around believers. It happens without your knowledge. It's automatic. That if you are down and you see a believer doing something that you were born for, something will rise in you even without your knowledge. Can you listen to what I'm saying, somebody? That if you are... Does Sunday give you a fresh outlook to life? It's just in the design of what God has done. There's a type of sadness you can have that unless you are willingly hard-hearted, you won't make it through a Sunday service without sadness. It will change. The people in church might annoy you, but for just some reason, it will change. There's just a design about the church. You don't have to understand it. It might just look like a hall to you, but heavenly activities happen there. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's just the design. Please, are you learning something today? And so therefore, if someone is going to be a learner, a student of the word, two things must happen. Number one, he must be taught from the scratch. What did I say? I've never reached out for my notes. He must be what? Taught from the scratch. Number two, he must be taught everything. Good student. She knows it by heart. You must be what? Taught from the scratch. Number two, you must be taught everything. We will not assume you know how to pray. We will not assume you know how to fast. We will not assume you know how to cast out devils. We will teach everything. Very soon, I'm going to do a wisdom series. I'm going to talk about all these things, Sunday jobs, all the things that keep you from the things of God, what's the way to do it, what's the way to approach it. We're going to do a money series very soon. How to handle money. I'm not teaching how to make money. Go to Lagos. Is there Canada Business School? I'll be Windsor Business School. Go there. I'm just going to teach you the biblical way to view money. I'm going to teach you about the saved and his savings. I'm going to teach you about... Amen. Going to teach you about the purpose of money. Going to teach you about how a believer should respond to money. Can a believer be Bill Gates? And if you are Bill Gates, what would you do with your money? You know, we are going to talk about tithing. Does the Bible say that if you don't tithe, things will be tight? We're going to talk about the devourer. Will the devourer devour you or not? We're also going to talk about just how to be wise generally with your finances. We're also going to talk about, can God empower you in a space? Is there anything like kingdom financier? Is there anything like sent to the business world for the kingdom? You know, we're going to talk about all of that. How can you also represent God in that sense? Can a believer chase that level of money without compromise? Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of you have thought of it before. Can I be that desperate? How about if... You know, the kind of work that gets me that kind of money is so busy that I'm not able to attend church programs. Is God okay with that? Does God understand? You must be taught from scratch. You must be taught everything. Amen? You understand what I'm teaching so far? All right. Now, let's talk about attitude of a learner. And so, learning is an attitude. It's an attitude. It's an attitude. You can come to church, be devoted to everything, but if you miss the attitude of a learner, you would shortchange yourself. For example, are you taking notes? Show me your notepad, everybody. Show me your notepad, everybody. Okay. Show me your Bibles, everyone. Are you in your bag? Now, learning is what? Is an attitude. Listen, you can come to church. You can do every other thing but learn. Do you know? And that can be your disposition all through the year. You can actually come to church. You can be busy. You can be serving the Lord and not be learning. You can be used to go into a place of learning, appear like you're learning, but you are not. I remember one day, myself and my friend, it was Pastor Nelson, we were upstairs, and it happened many times, so we were upstairs in the gallery, in a service in church, you know, when we still used to be in CCI, and we were looking down, and I saw this bros with two phones. On one phone, IG. On the other one, tweet, hot sermon. Hot sermon, what's going on? I said, you must be kidding. And then when it was time for offering, he stood up prayer, and then that's the end of service. I see, throughout the service, bros, IG, no, nothing, no notes, nothing. You can actually appear to be, you can even sit down and respond and not be learning. One of the ways you will know is if your Monday does not, or your Sunday does not connect to your Monday. If everything you learn on Sunday ends on Sunday and you don't find ways to put it to practice, you are not learning. You are hearing, but you are not learning. You know, it was James who said that a forgetful hearer is one who sees himself in the mirror and forgets the manner of man that he is. He says, but a doer of the word is one who sees but keeps in memory. A learner must have an approach that allows him keep in memory the things he has learned so he can implement them. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, there's a story that interests me. Luke chapter 10 verse 38. Look at this. I'm so good. Did you hear that? Some of you are slow. You didn't catch it. Luke chapter 10 verse, look at the fact that I have to spell it to you. You are that slow. You have to be following. Luke chapter 10 verse 38. Are you ready to look at this? I've stretched the joke too much. Sorry. Luke chapter 10 verse 38. Are you ready? 1, 2, go. Now. Okay, we're going to start again. Read like a mass choir. 1, 2, go. Now it happened that as they went that a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Next verse, what does it say? And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Verse 40, what does it say? But Martha was distracted with much serving and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Now, let's pause here. If you heard that Jesus was coming to visit you, what will you do? We clean. We mop the ceiling. Amen? We rearrange the roof. We will do everything we need to do. Jesus is coming. Think about it. And so, it's the same way we treat church. We're going to church. It's the house of God. We must clean it up. We must do everything right. We must say, hey, the pastor should catch you, choir. We must rehearse. Media. Make sure you're following the frame. Are those things good? Yes. Very good. If you don't do them, it doesn't even show that you honor God. Let me tell you something. One of the ways to plug into the work that God is doing in any local assembly is to serve. In service, God sharpens you for anything he has called you to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? Service is the best way to be sharpened. Amen? And there's no labor you give to God that is ever in vain. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Ever in vain. Now, it's good to serve. And Martha was doing everything. Hey, Master is in our house. So good, let's do it. To the point that she was angry, you know. Jesus, tell her now. Can't she help me? Are you seeing what I'm saying? You know, there are certain people that you see and you think their own is too much. You might have, in your own ignorance, felt like, bro, you are doing too much. Which day, sister, which day did you join our church? you just joined 2 weeks ago. You're already as if you are the one that knows. You're sitting in front every day. You know? Ooh. Oh, Nathaniel, okay, it's true. Two of them. You know, or when we join the church, always sitting in front. And you're like, Pastor, won't you just tell these people to just sit down? Nathaniel doesn't even allow me to finish my statements anymore. Which is good. I actually intentionally don't scold people when they are forwarding the things of God. No, it's good. You see what I'm saying? It's because it's bad when you have grown so mature in the things of God that you are not forward. You are now so mature. Things of God don't bless you. You say, front? What is front? Front? Oh, no. Why will I be so interested in hearing the word of God that will sit in front? You get the sarcasm, right? Exactly. So, some of you have become OGs. You are not doing that thing they do in secondary school. Backbenchers. Oh, geez. You know, they say, we're going to church. I say, you go to church an hour before? What? You've not grown, man. You need to grow. You need to time it. You come late. So everybody knows that you're busy, man. They'll take you for granted if you come too early. Wow. But you get what I'm trying to say, everybody. So, this was what was going on with Martha and Mary. Now, what happens next, everybody? Want to go. 41. What does it say? Was it 40 we stopped? 41. What did Jesus say? Everybody want to go. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Next verse, what does he say? But one thing is needed. And Mary has, say one thing is needed. Say one thing is needed. He said, Mary has done what? Chosen the good part, which will not be what? Let me help you understand the good part that Mary took. Verse 39, what does it say? Go back to 39. It says something that you should not miss. Everybody read together. I want to go. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus and what? You see, sitting at the feet was a present thing she was doing, but was also a symbolic position. It was a symbolic position. Look at Acts 22 verse 3. I'll show you. Acts. Okay. Are you changing your mentality today? Yes, Acts 22 verse 3. What does it say? Everybody wants to go? I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at what? At the feet of Gamaliel. What it means to sit at the feet of a person is to be a learner. Is to be what? A learner. Paul grew up at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was his mentor, was his teacher. And so Martha was not just physically sitting at that place, because she was physically, but it was not just that they were saying that she was physically sitting. She was one who sat at the feet. She was a disciple. She was a learner. Do you see that it's a position? It's not just something to do. Being a learner is an attitude. And Jesus says she chose a good part. Meaning that you can be in a service doing the most important thing but sitting at the feet. Or rather doing every other thing but the most important thing, which is sitting at the feet. You can do every other thing. You can be the biggest giver. You can be the head of the whatever team. But if you don't sit at the feet, if you are not learning, you've not chosen a good part. I will rather that every other thing does not work well, but we have the word of God and you learn. If I were to do a trade-off, it was why when we had all the opportunities to try to look bigger, we focused on the core. You know, when we started, it's only those who really sat at the feet that stayed. You know those years? When I'll play guitar, Rhoda will sing with me, then I will drop it and run and come back and preach. We'll sing a bunch of keys. And people will still worship. Harlan, hope those videos are deleted now. That never happened, amen? But at that point, the word was critical. It wasn't like we didn't have people who came and said because of this they were not going to stay. We had lots. They said, someone even categorically said, what I look for in a church is the worship. What do God? Are you see what I'm saying? Priority is to sit at the feet. Because when it comes to worship, those things can be worked on. When it comes to the music, those things can be worked on. You know, some people have mastered how to get you because they know what you are looking for. They know that what you need is pad on the keys. Once there's pad, they put smoke machine, just enough. Light, just enough. I'm still going to get you with it, don't worry. But it's not a critical thing. Those things only help the heart of new people. The main thing is the word. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? I'm not against any of those things. I'm not against best music. We're working music team. We have a wonderful music team. We've improved, We're still improving, and we're investing. Don't play with it. We're investing to get sound equipment, everything. But what I'm trying to say is now I can effectively do that because I know you are not here for that. Do you hear what I'm saying? You are not here for that. You came to sit at the feet. So, every other thing that aids your worship to God is good. Jesus, when he wanted to preach, told them to, move a boat backward. He stood on the boat. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to be more audible. Do you see what I'm saying? He used the things around him to aid his preaching. We can do that and that's fine. But that will never replace the importance of sitting at the feet. Are you listening to me, somebody? Mary's attitude is what you call the attitude of a learner. You can discern her priorities from that. See, there are some friends that you will need to instruct them. I remember in church then, we can be friends, but if I'm listening to the word and you just know that anytime we enter church, we're like, you just say, oh, I'm coming. I want to, when you say, I'll go and sit far from you. Because you must discern my priority. This is my priority. I know you know what the pastor is preaching. Don't distract me, please. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because it's critical for me to understand and learn. You please, warning, if you follow me to any conference and you're going to be whispering in my ear, I could give you shit. I'm joking. Maybe I'm not joking. But try it, then we'll see what I will do. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's how I treat the word. Focus. Attention. I wish I had enough time to say the rest of the things, but I can say it on Sunday. There's a way that God has laid out for us to learn, and you must imbibe that culture, the attitude of a learner. Ready to take notes, ready to study, ready to do assignments. Some people think it's weird when I give assignments. You need to know how I pastored the online ministry. one day I came to church, to service rather, online, and we were supposed to be, I think, 70. We're 30. I locked the meeting. Nobody could join. Should be, I've told you before, I can lock this door. That, you see, anyways, I will not say much. I'm just telling you, there's something called the attitude of a learner. I remember training them these many years. It was critical that they understood that what we're doing here is not a joke. My goal, by the grace of Jesus, is to raise you up that when you're 30, 40, when you have kids, you will not give the same excuses that we heard our parents give about the faith. I used to be there. God forbid. I'm still there. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm still there. Why do older people begin to tell us, oh, wow, continue. Wow, we did that in our time too. Why are you not still doing it? Are you getting what I'm saying? That even when the struggles of life become what it needs to be, we will still create time to be active learners, to be students of the word. Are you seeing what I'm saying? To be serving to the best of our capacity. And our children also will see the example. It will not be other ministries that will catch our children. You know that thing, you know, I've received many calls. Pastor, wow, thank you. Wow, what we've tried to get them to do. You are, it will not be your case. It will be you that your children will see the example of fire from. In the name of Jesus. So, the goal is for you to imbibe that culture. Have a note that shows curriculum. I've learned this. Have you seen my pile of notes before? Have I ever shown you? Did I bring it to church one day? Maybe online. Believer's Bible course. Yeah, I brought it. Oh, just one. That note was from when? 2021. I have the note I used in 2015. If anything gets missing, that one cannot get missing. I carry it from house to house. You see what I'm saying? I have the notes. I have notes from 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20. Till now, I have notes. All the notes I've written in since I've been growing, I have them. I don't play with it. Nope. Never. And I finish it before I move to the next. So you see diaries from then. When I still used to learn rubbish, I have the I have those things there. I still go back to it to see how I progressed. You know, the things I used to learn. So you have to take your growth seriously like that. How many of you have ever seen my notes app before? Notes app. Okay. I can't show you unless you can share my screen. Share the screen. I always want you to have pictorial representation. Share my laptop screen. Can you? I want to show you what it means to be a learner. Now, hear me. Good teachers are good learners. You can't be a good teacher if you were not a good learner. Did you hear what I said? You can't be a good teacher if you were not a good learner. It's always evident. One of the things that marked my growth as a learner was that I wrote almost everything word for word. Only the things I could not catch, you know. Those are probably the only things I never wrote. So when I started to teach, it aided me. If you see my sermon notes, I write it like I'm talking. So if I ever forget something, if I look at my notes sometimes, I'll just read it. And you think I'm having an actual conversation with my brain, but I'm just reading what is there because I know that's what I need to say next time. My brain will catch up. Now look at this. So I have folders on, can you scroll here? Almost everything I've ever taught you guys. With mini folders in there. Anything I'm teaching you now is not always new. Are you getting what I'm saying? And in each of these folders, there are 10, 7, 12. Some of these things were notes I made. Notes I transcribed. So I had it on a note. I started typing it out. I kept it in a folder. If I need to teach you on the gospel, I look for it. If I need to look at Christ Life Camp 24-25, I know where camp, what I taught, play role. That was 2021 camp. I know what I taught then. I can reference it. I can come back to it. We did Semperfi. We did the glory. We did 316. I've taught you the gospel how many times? Maybe 3-4 different variations. Understanding the gospel, 316, this good news. I have everything written down. Attitude of a learner. I'm only like this. Because this was how I learned. Are you getting my point? This is how I learned. Critical. Head and heart. We've done how many series? Scroll up. Practical evangelism. 12 notes in it. Scroll. Even one of the easiest ways you can know is this series we're doing. So this is Catalyst. I have Catalyst 26 already. Don't open it. I have 26 already. Now, 25, you would see thought feet, open thought feet. Thought feet, you will see all of the things I've taught you and all of the things I will still teach you. You can close it now. What I'm trying to show you is you would only be a good teacher if you are a good learner. Are you getting my point? If you are a good learner. So, put in efforts. Don't use 5 notes for 5 Sundays. one. So if you cannot keep your biro safe, just the pen. Every day, new pen. You have to treat those things as sacred. You get home, you put it somewhere. If you review that note frequently, you will use that same note. So treat it as sacred. Have the attitude of a learner. Again, part of why I'm doing this for you is to help you be proper disciples. And so before we even get into the new mini series, I want to remind you why we're doing this. We're going to pray a simple prayer. Lord Jesus. Can you say that again? Lord Jesus. I am committed to being a good disciple. Help me today to imbibe the attitude of a learner and to practically show this every day. Can you begin to pray right now? You know the practical things that you need to make adjustments at. Tell the Lord right now. Tell Him to help you. Tell the Holy Spirit to help you. To help you to imbibe the attitude of a learner, a better student of the word, a hungry student, one with zeal, one with passion, one that is very intentional, one that is consistent. In the mighty name of Jesus.